Good afternoon. You're tuned to Katie and Kay. My name is Raleigh Gurley. This is Everything Under the Sun. And our guest today, three Rotarians from the Carbondale Rotary Club, here to talk about an effort to fight malaria that also involves bicycles and a bike-a-thon this Saturday. We have Dr. Dan Perlman here in the studio. Hello, Dan.
Hi, thank you for having us today. We're excited to share some of the news of what we've been doing, originating from the town of Carbondale through the Rotary Club. Thank you.
And we also have Dan's wife, Bryna. Hello, Bryna.
Hi, I'm very excited to be here so we can impart more information about our fight against malaria. And we're also excited about this bike event that we're having on Saturday.
And here also to talk more specifically about the bike event, we have Timothy Witsit, who is a cyclist and a club member.
Thanks, Raleigh. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So to begin, let's talk a little bit about how each of you got involved with the Rotary Club. So we can talk first with you, Dan. How did you get hooked in here?
Well, I've been in Rotary for a number of years, and I'm a retired infectious disease public health physician. I had a career lasting about 33 years, and then I retired up to the Valley. I was initially in the Rotary Club of Aspen, and myself and Dr. Bob Porter, we went to Zambia in 2019, and we started involving ourselves as an Aspen Rotary project with Zambia, getting community health workers on the ground trained on malaria and getting them out to the villages. We donated bicycles, and Aspen was one of the clubs that started the Rotarian effort against malaria. Subsequently, I involved my wife, and we moved to Carbondale and joined the Carbondale Rotary Club. So we'll just say over the last 6 years, we've been involved with this project, and it's grown in magnitude logarithmically.
How about you, Tim?
Yes, I joined the Carbondale Rotary back in the late 90s. At the time, I was working as director of the local Habitat for Humanity affiliate, which we'd put together and were circulating among the Rotary clubs and other service organizations, and came in and made a pitch to the Carbondale Rotarians and just really felt at home there, and have since then been a member of the club.
And it's been long a part of the Rotary ethos to be fighting infectious diseases like this, like polio, in the past. Do you want to speak a bit about that and how Rotary does this globally?
Sure. Well, polio vaccines are very effective. And as a result of Rotary's interaction with the polio pandemic, you might call it, because it's been around the world, there's been a reduction of 99.9% or more in cases. And it used to be in the United States that we had a problem with polio. If you're advancing in age, you remember getting the polio vaccine when you were in school in the 50s, a little shot that was used, or liquid. It comes in both forms. And then now we only have had 7 cases on Earth in Afghanistan and Pakistan only this year, up till September 18th. So polio is almost gone, and Rotary has played a big role in the polio reduction. So Rotary is sort of trying to figure out what the best way forward is, because I don't think polio is going to be around very much longer. Mm-hmm. So that's where malaria comes up.
Bryna, I'd love to hear your voice on what are these trips like when you go to Africa?
Okay. I would like to also mention that the group that Dan is chairman of is called Rotarians Against Malaria Global, and that's ramglobal.org if you were to look it up on the web. We are what's considered a Rotary Action Group, so we can operate outside of the Rotary jurisdiction, which means we don't just get our funding through funds raised from Rotary clubs, but we also have private donations and can go to other foundations. For me, this has been the wildest trip of my life. Going to another country is one thing. Going to another country, and Tim can attest to this because he came with us when we took 18 Rotarians a few years ago to Kenya, walking down a mud-filled road while you're swatting mosquitoes and seeing people living in homes that don't have doors, or they don't have screens on their windows, and seeing children who are dying unnecessarily because malaria is both preventable and treatable. Just really cuts into you and makes you realize that how fortunate we are, especially in this valley, but how much need there is in other countries. So I'll speak to that a little bit more later on. Thank you.
And in this trip, will you be in Kenya specifically?
Well, let me just explain that when you say this trip, there's been multiple trips to Africa, and we've gone to several different countries. I mentioned Zambia. Right now, we have a large project in western Kenya in four of the counties there that are near Lake Victoria, and there's a big burden of malaria in that area. But Africa itself has over 95% of the deaths in children due to malaria, accounting for about 600,000 deaths annually. Wow. So it's a huge problem. We're planning to go back there, and Tim can talk about the Kenya trip that he joined last year.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It was a profoundly moving experience. Spend 3 weeks in country with the Perlmans and other Rotarians. We had the opportunity to visit the local community health centers in these four counties, particularly also in Nairobi. We were able to bring and present to community health workers a number of the bicycles that they need, and this is part of that program we're working on right now. It's as much as anything, as Dan said, malaria is treatable and preventable. The thing that has to be done is the problem is getting that technology, getting the medicines, getting the tests, getting all to out into the villages. The last 5 miles are basically trackless. And these community health providers are what has been established by the governments in sub-Saharan Africa to bring to the families, visit them. A health worker will visit a family once a week as their obligation, their charge. And to do that, especially in the rainy seasons, is extremely difficult. They've got a radius of 3 or 4 miles to cover and probably close to 100 families. So to get them a bicycle as a basic means of transportation where there are no roads is life-saving, to say the least. So that's part of what we're doing. The other part of the logistics is one of the other tools are mosquito nets. And treated mosquito nets have proven to be extremely effective. If you sleep under them, the mosquitoes can't infect you. So, but the problem is, again, getting out to the family compounds, to the small villages, getting them educated in the use of mosquito nets and used to it, and getting the nets to them. So these are both things that we're addressing in this Bikes for Bikes rally we're doing, yeah, raising money for.
This is a perfect segue to get into that. The event is October 11th, this Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on the Rio Grande Trail. And I see in the flyer that $50 raised will contribute 10 mosquito nets that you just mentioned. And $220 will get a durable bicycle capable of reaching those far out villages, as you described. So tell us more about how this event is structured, how it will work.
Yes, I'd be happy to. So we've gotten a permit from RAFTA for the Rio Grande Trail to hold an event. And we're expecting up to about 50 bicyclers. This is a fun ride. It's not a race. It's not a timed event. Its purpose really is, number one, to have fun, to get together and learn a little bit more about the disease and about the techniques and tools for prevention and eradication. And then lastly, to raise money through donations to attack the disease. And primarily, what we focused on, as you mentioned, are the purchase of bicycles for the community health providers and also treated mosquito nets. So that's what we're about to do. We're meeting at the Hooks Bridge intersection on Hookspur, just below Basalt, about 3 miles below Basalt, at the Rio Grande Trail. There's a big parking lot there. It's used a lot by mountain bikers on the glacier trails. So there's a spot to start out there. We're starting registration at 10 in the morning. We hope to have everybody off and on the trail by about 10:30. And then it's easy, downhill, fun ride down to Hooks Bridge, which is about 3 or 4 miles above Glenwood Springs.
The Iron Bridge.
Iron Bridge. I'm sorry. I said Hooks Bridge again. And we're going to meet there and end the ride at Iron Bridge, planning to have hot dogs, something to charge up again after a ride. But and we will also have a water station at Carbondale Town Hall, okay, where people can see a mosquito net, get a little information as to what's going on, stop and get a drink of water. And other than that, it's kind of on your own biking, and we hope it's going to be a fun experience.
Well, it's a gorgeous stretch of the Rio Grande Trail, especially that part by the Rock Bottom Ranch that closes seasonally.
It's one of the best. You know, it's really glorious.
So we wanted to make this a family event. We wanted to make it a fun event. And if you're unable to come on the event for any reason, you can also just make a donation. And we have a QR code. The posters are around town in Carbondale mostly. But if you look on our website for Carbondale Rotary, you'll be able to access that as well.
And I would like to add something. What we have noticed from having been in Kenya, especially, we were there for over 3 weeks, at about 5 weeks ago, what has happened to the community health? They're called workers, promoters. What has happened especially to the women have become empowered. You know, before they volunteered, and they are volunteers, they are sadly are not getting paid by their government, but they go out every day and do this work because everyone in Africa has been impacted somehow by the death of someone in their family, in their community. These women, and there are some men who also participate, but they now have been elevated. They have branded raincoats, gumboots. They have backpacks so they can carry the testing kits and any medications that they might be giving out. They're treating pregnant moms for other things besides malaria. But with their bicycles, they have truly become empowered. And they have spoken to us about and thanked us profusely about the fact that they can do their jobs now efficiently, that they are proud to be wearing the branded items, and that they believe that they are making a huge difference. And we can safely say that we have seen the difference that they're making. That's not to say the fight is over. The fight must continue. But it is wonderful to see how people have become elevated in a rural area where they really didn't think they would have the opportunity to achieve that.
And you'll go ahead, Dan.
So one of the last things that I'd like to mention is that we're seeing this community empowerment going on. We originally met with community health workers that we were unsure as to how this would unfold. And we gave them the bicycles and the training on malaria. And now, a year later, we see them as very strong community advocates, especially the women, and their self-assurance and confidence individually and as a team is remarkable. And it makes you, you know, very happy that we can make this kind of a contribution, because they become not only the malaria fighters, but they become kind of the doctors in these remote villages that nobody is going to regularly and providing medical advice and science and bringing mosquito nets. And now rolling out is a new vaccine in Africa for malaria. And I was privileged to give a malaria injection to a young boy in Uganda at a vaccine clinic last month. And I think that this is the beginning of a new vaccine campaign, similar to the polio campaign that we spoke about earlier, to really bring malaria close to zero and to zero in our lifetime.
I'm curious about if malaria has become more prominent in recent history in this area and how the people traditionally dealt with this disease, or if it's always been rampant.
It's been a huge killer and cause of disease and loss of work and school days lost in the sub-Saharan Africa region. It's really, once you eliminate or reduce malaria significantly in a community, it adds to the community's economic power. They say that if you give a dollar for malaria eradication and prevention, that it translates into about $40 in economic development in that community. So this is a very impactful way that Rotarians around the globe can contribute to something that we can do in our lifetime.
And what's been incredible for us also has been the enthusiasm of youth groups. There are, there are 18 countries in Africa that have Malaria Youth Corps. They have different names, but these are young people between the ages of 18 and 35. Many of them don't have jobs, but they go out to their communities. They ride bicycles. They do fundraisers like we're doing, like Tim mentioned, the one we're having on Saturday. And they also go into the villages to help educate. Removal of stagnant water, use your net properly, don't use it on vegetables. Mm-hmm. And they have become an integral part of the fight, which I have just been overwhelmed by their enthusiasm, by their creativity. They make up plays, they make up stories, they go into schools and perform. And this is helping break down the barrier between, the question had come up, how was this handled originally? Well, people went to what's called, I'll just put it out there, witch doctors, and somebody would wave a feather and say, okay, your child is now cured of malaria, and that doesn't happen that way. So it's breaking down barriers. It's involving the children who are educated in school through these youth groups, who then come home and tell their parents, hey, you know, we can't have plants growing up on the side of the house. Let's move them. Let's remove the water. So all in all, it's been this eye-opening experience. And we can see the work that has happened. We can see where the needs are, not only in the countries that we've been in, but in many other countries. And we're going to keep doing it, you know, for as long as we can do it.
Excellent. So this bike ride one more time is Saturday, October 11th from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., starting out at the Hookspur Bridge and going down to Iron Bridge. It's about 15 miles. And you can find the registration link in this week's Sopra Sun in an article by John Stroud. And we do have about 6-7 minutes left. So if you'd like, we can talk more about the Rotary Club, or Dan, if you have anything to add specifically about RAM Global.
So ram-global.org is the website. And anyone can join. You do not have to be a Rotarian. We put out a newsletter every month about what we're doing. You'll find in our archives online lots of information about malaria. So it's a great place to start your education about malaria and how you can help impact this disease. There's so many different venues to be of use in this fight we are pursuing to reduce malaria to zero. And if you're interested in our Rotary Club, we meet at the Firehouse, Carbondale Rotary, every Wednesday morning at 6:45 a.m. There's a breakfast, and then there's speakers, mostly from nonprofits, but interesting projects around the world. And Rotary International is actually the largest volunteer organization on Earth. Over 1.4 million volunteers doing projects, raising money, and doing good.
We will be registering on site, as well as people can do that through the QR code or through the website. We're riding rain or shine. Check the weather and make sure you dress for it appropriately. It's up to the participants to get to the Hooks Bridge under registration. We have some little prizes, swag bags. We've got a team competition going on. So it's going to be a fun time, a team competition amongst teams that are raising money, who can raise the most. So we look forward to seeing people out there.
Dan mentioned that we have a website, but we are also on social media. We're on Instagram and we're on Facebook. So you can look us up. It would be wonderful to have you follow us. And again, membership within RAM is totally free. So we welcome that. And we also want to thank KDNK for interviewing us, for getting the word out. And we believe that together we can fight malaria from all fronts. So thank you.
And people may have seen the Rotary Club at Potato Day with their pancake breakfast. They might be familiar with the Fireball Drop. I know there's a highway cleanup coming up as well.
That's a week from Saturday.
Okay.
And anybody who'd be interested in helping us out cleaning up around the intersection of Highway 133 and 82, we are responsible for that section. We'll meet at the Red Hill parking lot and on Saturday the 18th.
Mm-hmm. And I know there's money raised for scholarships as well as this youth exchange program that I benefited from being a part of when I was 16 years old and was sent to Chile as a youth ambassador. So while we still have just a few minutes, I'd love to hear from each of you why you're a Rotarian and why you'd encourage others to join this club.
Okay. I would like to also just give a big shout out to Nordic Gardens, who has been supportive of our efforts and in particular came through as, I don't want to call them a sponsor, but they gave a rather substantial donation for the efforts that Tim will be writing in on Saturday. As far as why I became a Rotarian, a sort of guilty by association, Dan was involved and then I became involved and I've been a volunteer all my life. And it's a passion. It takes up a lot of time and effort, but it's all a good feel. And we can all, in any way, we can all, whether it's a highway cleanup, whether it's making a donation, whether it's the bike ride, we can all do so much to help others.
And I'll just say briefly that I love being a Rotarian. It's been about friendship. It's been about making an impact in a big way globally with this malaria project. It's gaining a lot of momentum, and so I'm happy about that. It also offers a chance to connect with so many different clubs and so many different communities. Bryna and I have spent quite a bit of time talking to people about what we're doing, and the interest is really is growing nicely. It's just wonderful. So, thank you for having us.
Absolutely, Tim.
Thanks, Rolly. I would just echo what Dan and Brian have said. Rotarian experience for me has first been great fellowship with local folks, getting together each week and exchanging stories and life experiences. And then above that, if you want to do some good in the world, there's a lot to be done, and Rotary's involved in it everywhere, from right here in Carbondale to Africa to Southeast Asia, all over the world. It's a great opportunity, and you can literally sort of write your own ticket. What you want to do, you can do through the Rotary.
So we were very honored last year. The Rotary clubs that operate outside of the United States are enthusiastic. They're large in number. And we have made just tremendous friends having visited these Rotary clubs over the past 3+ years. Last year, as a matter of fact, we were invited to a wedding of a Rotarian who was getting married 3 days after he invited us. So we do have what I consider these lifelong friendships. Yes, there's time differences, but when you make that bond, when you're doing good, when you have people appreciating, they're not just holding out their hands, they're doing the work in country also. It's so inspirational. So we're going to keep, as Dan says, we're going to keep on trucking.
Well, so our motto is,
go ahead,
fight malaria from all fronts. And Carbondale is one of those fronts right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dan Perlman, Bryna, and Tim Witsit. We appreciate you showing up in the studio and telling us your story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.